isn't it good to have all of that Bishop's Lenten Appeal stuff out of the way? Yes, it is. So a little tiny bit shorter of a homily for you here today, just because I know we got off to a late start. Back in high school, I remember that it was considered to be cool or funny or cute if you looked at the difficulties and problems of life through the lens of snark or cynicism. Like, for example, you could imagine a lot of high school students, they're all gathered around a lunch table in the cafeteria, and they start talking, and one of them inevitably starts talking about some hardship that they're going through in their life, and somebody else at the table inevitably says something in response like, "Yeah, life's a pain, then you die." And everybody's all chuckle, 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 laughter, laughter, as if they've just said something really wise, as if they've just said something really helpful. And you know, that kind of dark sarcasm, that kind of gallows humor, is by no means confined to high school. It's very popular in water coolers and offices and at family dinner tables all over the world. Life's hard for everybody, and you know, at some degree, I get it. We need a coping mechanism, right? We need some way to cope with it. But at some point, you have to grow up. At some point, you have to realize that life is hard for everybody. And being flippant about it, or dismissing it, or treating it with dark humor, doesn't actually help anybody. What we need, rather, is somebody who can offer us real hope, right? What we need, rather, is somebody who's genuinely joyful, and for a good reason. For a group of people like all of us, awash as we are in an ocean of darkness and seeming hopelessness, what we need is somebody who's holding a burning light. Now, here in the Gospel, we hear the story of Jesus. He's going about all around Galilee, and he's really relieving people's distress, meeting people right where they are. When you hear Jesus do that, stop and ask yourself, does he still do that? Does he still relieve people's distress? In our psalm response, we said, "Praise the Lord who heals the brokenhearted." Does Jesus still heal broken hearts? The answer is a rock-solid yes. But there is one thing that you have to do. At some point, you have to make sense. You have to come to grips with the problem of human suffering. And that wasn't me who said that. It was Thomas Aquinas. He said, "You cannot praise God if you think that God is causing your suffering. You cannot praise God and you cannot love God until you first made some real progress in this thorny issue of human suffering." And guess what? That's the very issue that Job talks about, which happened to be our first reading in the Mass today. The book of Job, something we only hear from twice in 3 years. One of the times we hear from it is today. And you know the value of Job is that he says out loud the stuff that all of us are thinking. Job turns to God and asks him face to face. He says, "Why do the innocent suffer?" Or like we heard in our first reading, "Is not man's life on earth a drudgery?" Everybody thinks that. People don't say it, right? Job says the quiet part out loud. But, you know, everybody, they want to leave people with the impression that they've got it, you know, all together. The people who appear to have it the most all together, I've found, are the people who most think that life is a drudgery. Job addresses head-on the issue of human suffering, the thorniest issue in all of religion, in all of philosophy, because, you know, suffering wouldn't be a problem if only guilty people suffered. No problem. What comes around goes around. I mean, imagine if it was only pornographers who got cancer. Imagine if it was only embezzlers and tax cheats who, you know, had to watch their loved ones die in sudden accidents, right? No problem. What comes around goes around. But innocent suffering, that really is a problem. That's what Job's all about. Job, if you don't know the story of the book, I'll tell you real briefly. the perfectly innocent and upright man who, in the course of just one day, loses everything in life that matters to him. He loses his health, he loses his reputation, he loses all of his property, and he loses his family. All of his children die in one day. The one thing Job never loses is his faith. Never curses God, never renounces God. He hangs on. But you know, when you come to the end of the book, Job speaks to God, and he's got a few choice questions for the Almighty. And he asks God directly, why do the innocent suffer, right? Job wants an explanation. You know what's interesting? God doesn't answer Job's questions. Instead, he turns the tables and he starts asking questions of Job. He says effectively, Job, who are you to question Almighty God? Were you there when I laid the foundations of the world? Tell me, Job, where were you when I said to the seas, thus far shall you come and no farther? Hey, Job, have you ever commanded the dawn? Have you ever fixed the sun and given it its place in the sky? Answer me if you have knowledge. Who are you, Job? Who are you to ask questions of me? I'm the author. I'm the playwright. You're just a character in the story. And Job, you know, he learns a lesson that day. He learns humility. Now, upon saying that, I already know that's not a satisfactory answer to the question of innocent suffering. I know that, and it's important to note that Job is not the last word in our faith on the question of innocent suffering. You know what the last word is on the question of innocent suffering? Jesus Christ is the last word. Especially his suffering, death, and resurrection. But it's very, very important that you don't leap over the lesson in Job to go straight to Jesus Christ, because there's something in Job that we need. Namely, anybody who has ever come to peace with the question of innocent suffering, especially their own suffering, has learned the first step is to become humble before Almighty God. You want to make peace with God in the question of human suffering, know this, it is a long, long road to walk. And no priest in any homily is ever going to solve the problem for you right here in one spot. But they can tell you this. They can tell you how to take the first step. The first step, and I mean there is no other way, is to learn humility before God. Everyone who's found peace with God has learned the same thing that Job learned, namely, they stopped accusing God, stopped asking questions, and they started listening to the questions that God asks them. Because what God does to Job, if you're prayerful, you'll realize he does the exact same thing to you and me. You turn to God in your suffering. You effectively say to God, hey, God, what are you all about? If you have a little bit of humility, and if you're prayerful, you'll hear that God turns the tables on you too. Starts asking questions of you. What am I all about, God says? Answer me this. What are you all about? What do you think life is all about? What do you, are you here to serve and help others? Or are you just here to help yourself? Whose will do you want to do? Do you want to do God's will like you say, or rather, do you really just want to do your own? Do you realize that you have to change your behavior? Do you realize that you have to change your behavior to conform to what's good, to conform to what's true, and to stop expecting what's good and what's true to conform to your behavior? What is it that you want in life? What are you about? Is it comfort that you want? Is it security? Don't you realize that's not found in this world? All this is passing away. Like it or not, we are all headed towards our inevitable mortality. It's only a question of when. We don't have a home here. We're just passing through. But we are preparing for a dwelling that is eternal. Don't you realize this world makes a lousy home, but a great gymnasium? What is it that you want? Is it happiness that you want? Haven't you learned that happiness comes to those who give, but not to those who take? Is it love that you want? Is that what you want? Haven't you learned that love is found by those who walk towards suffering for the well-being of someone else, not by those who run away from it? It's found by those who learn how to be self-forgetful, a lesson that's only learned in the school of hard knocks. Take up your cross and follow me, Jesus said, in greatest love. You know, priests can answer the question of human suffering for you, not in one single homily, but at least he can indicate for you the very first step. And there is no other way. The first step, as learned by the book of Job, is to learn to walk humbly with your God. I like the way St. Therese said it. She said, everything is a grace. Everything is the direct effect of your Father's love. Difficulties, contradictions, humiliations, all the soul's miseries, all the soul's burdens, all the soul's needs, everything. Because through them, you realize your weakness. Through them, you learn humility. Everything is a grace because everything is a gift. Whatever of life or of its unexpected events, to the heart of someone who loves well, all is well. Praise God who heals the brokenhearted. Amen.